Dear Lord, what a sad little life, Jay.
Now, on FUBAR Radio, it's Pulse of the Nation.
Well, I'm being shady-ish,
I'm going to find me, Darren!
Boring! You have to catch me first, I'm like a whippet.
Nah, it's not fun, I've got school.
Bus wankers!
And that was the fucking news.
Here's your host, Andrew White.
Hello, and welcome to Pulse of the Nation here on FUBAR Radio. I've got a lovely show today. Sat across from me, my wonderful co-host, Alistair Beckett-King. We'll be chatting to him in just a moment about all sorts of things. I'm going to talk to him about the sexiest man alive, the latest result that has rocked the world. We're not going to get too much into actual news because it's been very depressing this week. We're also going to talk about his children's book series, Montgomery Bonbon, and his upcoming spring tour, King of Crumbs. Plus, we'll be joined by Dave Chawner in about half hour's time. So there's lots to get our teeth sunk into. Just waking up, really. I've not been very... I did that thing where you wake up and my partner's still asleep and I feed the cats. And I talk to the cats, obviously, but they're not talking back, so I'm not really practicing conversation. And then I've come straight into the radio station. And I had a lovely chat with Alistair, but I'm still not firing on all cylinders. So you're going to have to bear with me as we get through the news. Well, not the news. It's been very depressing. I tried, even in the metro, I had a little look for some fun story. Because even in the, you know, the darkest of times, there's a little like corner that says, Ayrshire monkey born in zoo with a birthmark that resembles an air fryer. Something like that, you know? Something you can cling on to. This was genuinely the happiest story I could find in all the pages of the metro. Priest in court for kicking nurse in groin. This is the priest Sheila Sherwood, who kicked David Gallagher in the groin whilst being treated. She was accused of kicking and biting him. And in her defence in court, she said, I cannot bite with no teeth. So there you go, a toothless priest, Sheila Sherwood there, who claimed that she, at worst, she could have gummed the nurse. That's the happiest story we can find. There might be some happy stories later today. The New York mayoral election is tonight with Mamdani Cuomo and Sliwa all sort of battling out. And bafflingly, Donald Trump has managed to endorse the non-Republican candidate. He's endorsed Andrew Cuomo over his actual Republican choice, Curtis Sliwa. It's looking like Zora Mamdani might get it, but we have to have a keep an eye out on that. There's been a lot of liberal victories recently. Rob Detton in the Netherlands, Catherine Connolly over in Ireland. Who knows where the New York mayoral election is going to be, but that's not guaranteed happiness. And I promise, if you look through the rest of the news, there is absolutely zero happiness. So that's all we've got. That's all we can cling on to at the moment. It's some hypothetical happiness and a groin kicking toothless nurse. So that's the environment that I bring my wonderful co-host Alistair Beckett-King into today. Hello. How are you?
I'm absolutely reeling from the groin kicking of that nurse. Alleged.
Oh, she did actually get charged.
Has been charged. Okay.
Ordered to pay £420 in fines and compensation.
This isn't sub judice, then. We can say that the priest did kick the nurse in the groin.
Yeah.
I was going to be very hedging about my words there.
No, freely. Slag dear Sheila Sherwood off.
Can I say, though, because really this reflects badly upon me and the era I come from, that my assumption when I heard priest kicks nurse in groin is I had the genders completely the other way around there.
So
a female Catholic priest, an old Catholic priest.
Yes, this is the old Catholic church.
Kicked a male nurse, it's 2025, kids, a male in the groin. Now it's actually a very progressive act, I now think.
Yeah.
I'm kind of on the nurse's... I'm really torn about who I'm sympathising with here.
I don't think I see what you mean. You don't necessarily have to sympathise with anyone in the story, but
maybe there are no heroes.
Yeah, there are no heroes
the
anymore.
Priest groin kicking.
But this is a story that represents progress. Represents change.
Exactly.
In its heart,
it is the story of 2025, in my view.
I look forward to it being on the Google Zeitgeist videos.
Aren't we all a priest kicking a nurse in the groin?
It's a great metaphor for life.
It is a metaphor. Sometimes you're the priest, sometimes you're the groin, sometimes you're the male nurse being gummed.
We
just don't.
What a defence as well. I couldn't have bit him. I don't have any teeth.
I mean, it's a real O.J. Simpson. Like, how do they do it without teeth? Come on.
If the teeth don't fit, you must quit. She's only 56. That's quite young to me to be very gummy.
I mean, I don't imagine this is pure story. I've only just heard about the old Catholic Church. I was only familiar with the main Catholic Church,
the old Catholic Church.
For me, the main one, not the spin-off. But I kind of imagine a toothless female priest is probably par for the course. Is that unfair?
Yeah.
Am I slandering the entire religion?
No, I mean, I think of all things to slander, I think a religion, a centuries-old religion, is the best one to go for.
Phew.
Yeah, yeah, you're all good. We did look up the difference between the old Catholic Church and the new Catholic Church, and it's a lot of...
the Catholic Church,
isn't it? Yes, the Catholic Church, the Holy Roman Catholic Church.
Really not that new at all.
No, God, they've been around for millennia. And it was all just very boring stuff about excommunication and succession of apostles, so we won't bore you with that. But it was founded by J.J.I. von Dollinger, which is a fun name.
By J.J. Abrams from the movies. Wow.
Yeah, and Super 8. That was his prequel to the Super 8 movies. speaking of fantastic names, alongside J.J.I. von Dollinger here, a wonderful name coming right
fantastic
up.
Fantastic.
And you'll be very familiar with it, I'm sure. Montgomery Bonbon.
Ah, yes. Montgomery Bonbon. For the listener who doesn't know, that is the name of the pseudonym. Anonymous protagonist.
Okay. Lovely word.
Of the children's books I write. I write locked room impossible murder mysteries for kids aged 8 and up. There's no upper limit.
Anyone can enjoy this.
But there is a lower limit. A 7-year old, get lost. But if you're over 7, then you can read them. And they're about a 10-year-old girl called Bonnie Montgomery, who is very good at solving mysteries, but people don't really like children solve murders.
Yeah, weird that.
Yeah, I know. It's just
if a female priest can kick a male nurse, then surely,
come on,
a child
it's 2025. Now that we've broken down the biggest taboo, can a female priest kick a nurse in the groin? Surely the saloon doors are open for pretty much anything to happen.
Yes.
It's like the Weimar Republic now.
wheelbarrows of money just being carted around as people buy your children's detective novels.
So what Bonnie Montgomery, the protagonist, does is she puts on a sort of a David Suchet's Poirot-like accent, which is kind of wobbly and vaguely roams around the whole of the European continent, and she gets a fake moustache and a beret, and she becomes Montgomery Bonbon, the gentleman detective. And obviously nobody can tell that she's actually a little girl, and so she solves all of the crimes in that disguise, while also trying to protect her secret identity.
Wow, that sounds so fun.
It is. They're really fun and good, and I think the listeners should buy them, frankly.
You absolutely should. I have two questions. Number one, do you do audiobooks, and do you do the accent in the audiobooks?
The accent is sehr gut, except that I didn't know how to pronounce the German word Fräulein.
Fräulein.
So I do pronounce it Fräulein for the entire book. But then she's a kid. She doesn't know how to say
I think that's accurate. So that's character accurate.
Yeah. One of the characters is called Dana, and I only found out after recording the audiobooks that the English pronunciation for the name, the girl's name, is Dana.
No, I've never heard anyone say Dana.
I know, but I learned it from The X-Files, where they're all American. So she's called Dana in the audiobooks.
I'm on your side with the Dana. The Fräulein thing, that's understandable.
Strictly speaking, that I am wrong.
Yeah,
times,
you are wrong, but for Dana, I don't agree with
it
at all.
No. Dana's fine, isn't it? So yes, I do the audiobooks, and if you haven't had enough of listening to me doing really questionable accents, then get on it.
And there's four to choose from, and a fifth on the way.
Set in a theatre, murder in a theatre, on stage. Yes, someone is murdered and nobody else is on stage, and Montgomery Bonbon is watching from the stalls. How could it have happened?
Everything just keeps spiraling, more questions. My main question before I go off on this tangent is how do you temper the violence of the murder and the age appropriate?
I just try and get as much violence in there as I can and let the editor go, no.
Oh, I see. Well, take it out of your hands.
I'm not, on the one hand, I do try to be responsible. So the types of murders and crimes that happen in the book are not things that are easy to imitate, you know. So they are somewhat outlandish. Things that, you know, you wouldn't actually encounter in daily life, because I don't want kids to be inspired by the wrong parts of the book.
Indeed. But, and if they can get hold of an anvil, all power to them.
Exactly. Yeah. That shows initiative. But also, I think that the truth is that kids like the bits that you're not supposed to have in a kid's book, you know. And we all grew up with, I grew up reading Roald Dahl. Younger people grew up reading J.K. Rowling. Both extremely evil people in real life, but the cruelty of their evil has obviously produced books that people really like. And in Roald Dahl, because he's a good writer, in his case, the you know, the people, I loved the nasty, horrible stuff. I mean, what the sales pitch for Roald Dahl is, I'm a horrible man writing a horrible story for disgusting children. And as a child, you're like, yes, please. Mm.
Do you worry that you are too good a person to be a successful children's author?
It is a constant fear, yes.
I'm
too morally upright and just likable and nice. So far, I haven't done a heel turn, but I think you have to be really, really successful first, and then you want to do the heel turn.
That's into, it, from the ivory tower. Yeah.
Then you have to decide which minority it is you've got it in for. But at this point, it's everything to play for. It could be male nurses. It could be old Catholic Church priests.
Yeah.
It could be any of them.
I would, in the spirit of dear Ian Cognito, I'd suggest the Eskimos. They've had it too good for too long.
Now I will look Inuit.
Come on.
I've actually never done a pun in my life before. That was my first one.
There you go. And I can believe that. Your comedy is very, very smart. So I feel like you're above puns.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I
mean that in a positive way.
You've decided which minority you're going after, one-liner comedians.
Well, absolutely. I've got no respect for them. You know, some of them, you see them working out their stuff, it's like, do you even know how words work? You're just throwing shit at the wall. What do you mean? No, I will. I love Mark Simmons. He's been in this show.
Fantastic.
I'll say no more about anyone else.
I do love Mark. What I like about Mark is that obviously he's a great joke writer, but also he's just a normal man. Because a lot of the time, with a lot of brilliant one-liner comedians, the persona is often an oddball or a weirdo, and Mark just seems like a guy who really likes jokes, which is what he is.
Mm.
And so this is something, it's weirdly avant-garde to just be, right, I'm a man who wrote all these jokes. They're all really good. Do you enjoy that? And the audiences really respond.
Yeah, you're so right, actually. Because all power to, and I love separately Milton Jones and Tim Viner,
exactly.
But there's such a character selling the
exactly.
jokes. Whereas Mark is just pure like, here's the jokes.
Yeah, it's just a guy from Kent.
Yeah, I've never appreciated
this big bag of jokes.
I've never appreciated how brilliant that actually is, yeah. Well, I'm going to have Mark Simmons back on this show before we...
So let's take everything we said about one-liner comedians back.
Yes,
they're all very good.
But we do hate the Eskimos. Now, before we head into the break...
I'm not co-signing any of this.
We have a quiz for you.
Oh, okay.
These are kids' book titles. I think we have a quiz sting, actually. Oh, hello. Oh, yes, we've got a quiz here. And there might be a little bed I can play as well. I've kicked it off again. Here we go. Right, there we go. Now it's gently playing in the background now. So this is real or fake kids' book titles.
Okay.
The producer is telling me that the bed was really loud. this is what happens if
love
we try to be
bed.
Proper radio.
I love a loud bed.
I said to Kieran, I said, it'll be nice to have like little sound effects like they do on, you know, like radio, like when they're having some sort of fun jingle.
Yeah.
And we've fucked it.
No,
really.
No. You've shown why you're not allowed to play with.
Yeah, we're not proper
jingles.
Radio. I shouldn't try to be. We're just having a laugh. And we're going to do our quiz. But I do have correct and wrong buzzers at the very least.
Okay.
So, is this a real or a fake kids' book title? Strangers have the best candy.
Strangers have the best candy?
Yes, is that a real title?
That's a terrible lesson for kids. But again, kids do like, they do like to get bad. No, I think that's got to be fake. That's got to be fake.
It's real.
It's real.
It's a real title, yes.
Encouraging children to talk to strangers.
Yeah, it only gets worse, really. Well, if these are real. Grandma's hairy secret. Grandma's hairy secret. Real or fake?
I don't know. I can't believe... the glee in your eyes suggests to me that you had a hand in that, in Grandma's hairy secret.
Yes, yeah.
So I'm going to say fake again, surely.
Oh, it is indeed fake. It is correct.
We got it.
We'll do three more.
If it's in Granny's hairy secret, I would have believed it. But grandma's didn't sound right.
101 fun games to play in the road.
That must be fake. That must be fake.
It's real. It's real.
Why are we teaching the children? I'm losing so badly.
You've guessed all of them are fake.
I can't believe anyone would call a book any of these things.
Mum's got a hangover. Mum's got a hangover.
No. I don't think it's real, but I'm going to say real because I've been wrong.
It's fake. It's fake.
You tricked me.
Oh, you've got just the one point. So this is...
is that the end of the quiz?
No, you've got one more. You've got one more question.
Okay, here
so
we
this
go.
Is a bit of consolation.
So it's not everything to play for because I've lost either way.
Yeah.
Right. Let's go.
Curious George and the High Voltage Fence.
Okay, now Curious George is a real character.
Yes, he's a real entity.
So that's plausible.
Well, not a real entity. He's a real.
You're telling me
property.
Curious George is not real?
Yeah, yeah.
He's a real bit of intellectual property. That's yes, how we like to think of these things. and the high
voltage fence.
No way. No, not true.
It's real Curious George, but Curious George.
George, your curiosity is a danger at this point.
What? Yeah, I guess some of these are like subversive.
Well, I think so.
I hope. Unless it's like, strangers do have the best candy.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Especially the ugly ones because they have to try harder. Yeah, that's not the lesson we should take away from that.
It was a box of dogs. It was a box of puppies when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah, we were healthier in those days.
Wow. Oh, well, that's very fun, actually. But we could look at that. Maybe we could Google the history of sort of like child entrapment. my producer Kieran
let's maybe not. Let's
panicking
maybe not do
in
that.
The booth. Like, let's not
Google the history of child entrapment.
Because the child snatcher in Chitty Bang Bang, he's all sweets, isn't he?
He does have sweeties.
Before your time.
He is. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I wasn't a child in the 1960s. That's true. and that's set in like when the turn of the set in like 1920
like
or
sort
something.
Of Edwardian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's true. No, he did have lollipops and so
but
forth.
The, the dogs were a big one. I
grew up in the Northeast. Yeah, big box of puppies. Yeah. You got to think about. No, I was going to say, restocking that box of puppies time and again is going to be a nightmare admin-wise, but that's probably not the biggest problem.
I don't know they actually give away the puppies, do they?
No, but they're going to get older. You can't carry around a big box of four fully grown Alsatians.
I see your problem. Yeah, well, unless they also have a dog breeding business on the side.
Just something for the police of the 1990s to look into, maybe.
Yep. And then maybe they need the help of Montgomery Bonbon to uncover those crimes.
Quite.
And yes, so there's a fifth book coming. There's four you can go and buy and enjoy now for ages 8+, and look out for the new one in the new year. We're going to head into the break now, but we'll be right back with some more Alistair Beckett King. We're going to be talking about his tour. We're going to be talking about the world's sexiest man, all sorts of things, and even animal chiropractory.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Well, we've got some ASMR for you now, some sounds of clicking and cracking, which we will latterly, we will back narrate. So retrospectively, we'll tell you what's happening. But for now, just enjoy the sounds of these animals being relieved. That sounds horrible, sorry.
That's what it is.
It's fine.
Hoppala. Gut gemacht, Schatz. Ja, warte, wir sind noch nicht fertig. Ja. Ja. Okay.
Ihr Blick.
Alles gut? Alles gut? Ja?
Okay, yeah, so that was...
What was that? What was I listening to and looking at there? That was nightmarish.
You were fixed in horror, Alistair.
Watched a man snap a rabbit.
So, yes, the ASMR could stand for Animal Spine Movement and Realignment, because that was the sound of several animals having their necks and backs cracked by an animal chiropractor. That clearly made you feel a certain way, and
it
wasn't positive.
I had a strongly negative reaction to that. I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure that chiropractic is a real science in the first place.
Yeah, agreed.
When you've just basically got a cow in a headlock, it seems even less like a real medical practice to me.
But these animals seem so happy. After
the cat didn't, the cat
but you see, I've seen other videos where it's the dog and the dog's like jumping around, like, oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, I know, but that's dogs, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know, you kick a dog and they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. They're sort of pathetic, needy.
That's quite pigeony, that dog. I don't know whether this sits well, I don't know how take this how you will, but it sits well within your character that you would say you had a dog and then it turned out to be a pigeon, but you were convinced it was actually a dog.
That's absolutely, yeah, we're walking it in the park on a very small lead.
Yeah.
It keeps trying to flutter away. Come back, Lionel, come back.
Furious at the dog shows keep turning you away, yeah. There was a cow, there was a rabbit, and a cat and a dog, and they all had sort of, they were held in various positions, then
I can't remember now what his accent was, but he had a sort of vaguely seductive sort of, okay, I'm going to squeeze you.
Yes, which is what you want from a chiropractor, right, I think.
Okay, it's fine. That's good. Yeah, big on sort of aftercare there as he's sort of stroking the dog. After the dog looked like the dog was as surprised as me that it was being given a chiropractic click.
Mm.
But
how do you identify that the animals need this? That's my question.
That's a really good point. You never hear a dog say, "Oh, me back." Oh, it's played Marielle with me today. Me back. I certainly never hear that from Lionel, my pigeon is a dog.
Yeah, it's a very. I have got so many questions about the ethics of it. How this guy discovers he can do this? How they discover the animal needs it? Yeah, all sorts of stuff.
It makes pet psychics look slightly more ethical. At least,
yes, yeah,
that's one good
true.
Thing about it.
Yeah, that's crazy. The what the mediums like the sort of contacting the realm of dead animals.
Yeah. So I was familiar with pet psychics who would try and tell you what a living animal called.
Oh, yes,
but,
yeah.
But
yeah.
If you're bringing messages from a dead animal, that's
it's
even harder to prove those wrong.
That is true. So I've seen the pet psychics. I've seen them do it over Zoom, which I think is ridiculous.
Come on, no, you can't. I mean, let's be realistic. You can't detect a pet's aura over Zoom. The technology isn't there.
That's my problem with it, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, the webcams can't pick up aura. Come on.
Maybe with the advancement of AI.
With infrared cameras or something like that. We might be able to get there, but we're not there now.
No, I've seen videos of... so I was thinking of the mediumship, which does exist and is even more unethical.
Really? So do they like channel the dog like a Victorian medium and just start woofing? Like,
I would love
people
it.
People going,
it
was, that's him.
That's exactly what he sounded like.
His little wiggles.
I think they just go, there's somebody in the room with me. Did you have a beagle? And they go, yes, I did have a beagle. And they go, oh, he wants you to know that he loves you.
I'm getting a word, walkies. Does that mean anything to anyone?
Oh, I would love to see a full live show of that. No, it's one-on-one exploitation, sadly. But yeah, those the aura readers who are like telling you what your pet thinks. I've seen it before where it's a Zoom and they go, if you could just leave me with the cat. And this woman stands up and gets out of the room, and it's just the person and the cat on a Zoom window. Yeah, on a Zoom.
Well, cats do love being on Zooms, to be fair.
Yeah, hey, yeah,
they do enjoy that.
Yeah.
Wow. So, yeah, so in context, that now seems like a really good way of spending time and money by comparison.
Yes, yeah, getting, the chiropractor is
getting someone in to just basically snap the spine of a pet.
Do you watch this? One of the questions here is, like, would you watch this kind of content? What is your algorithm? What do you see on your Insta and TikTok?
I feel terribly sort of 20th century. Mm-hmm. Like, I make, quote-unquote, funny short videos for the
amazing
internet.
Amazing short videos.
Thank you very much, Andrew. But I don't like to consume information in video form. I just tell me it in words, because I can read faster than an American in their car can speak. So that's how I would prefer to find the information out, rather than just hearing someone breaking it down for me as they drive on a freeway or something with holding their phone in a way that seems irresponsible.
Oh,
frankly.
Yes, yeah, illegal, definitely.
Yeah, so I don't do the, you know, I don't really use TikTok. I'm not sitting just watching reels on Instagram.
Fair enough. So you don't have an algorithm.
I do like my friends' reels when they come up on Instagram, but that is as a sign of support.
Yes. What a healthy attitude to the internet.
Thank you. I support
my friends and I consume my own information. Which, although that second, I've phrased it.
I do my own research.
Exactly, yeah.
I just find out stuff they don't want you to know in the mainstream media.
Is there a conspiracy theory that you have a sort of slight leaning towards? Like, I'm maybe empathetic or sympathetic rather to the some of the Queen Killed Diana theories.
That is quite, I mean, does anybody think Jeffrey Epstein killed himself? No, it's hard to find somebody who thinks he did. Like, I think the doctor who confirmed it was like, probably. I've never met anybody who thinks that there isn't something going on there. It's tricky, isn't it? Because like the impulse to believe in conspiracy theories is like, the instinct is not exactly wrong. Like, the world is not run in our interests. There are small groups of people who make decisions that affect our lives. Pharmaceutical companies sometimes behave unethically. Like, these things are all true. Governments lie. It's just that for some reason, the specific beliefs that conspiracy theorists always sort of latch upon are like not true.
Yeah.
And it really matters to me that they're not true. You know what I mean?
Yes, yeah, I do know what you mean. And it's so hard as well, because like sometimes they'll be going down a line of questioning that you sort of want to encourage, or like questioning
the
status quo.
Like free thinking and questioning, that's all good.
But then it's just a left turn.
The media can be used to build consent. Absolutely. But it's when I was younger, I feel like there were fun conspiracy theories, like that seemed kind of harmless and apolitical, like the moon landings didn't happen and things like that. They're relatively soft and fluffy, or Bigfoot exists, that sort of thing, and they're covering it up. But it feels like now almost all – they used to say, oh, you know, the world is evil, but the corporations and the governments don't want you to know that, which is kind of true, in a way. But now the conspiracy is like, everything's actually fine and I don't need to recycle. but the feminists are making me. And it's like, no, that isn't true, though. Yeah. It's not true that everything's fine. Climate change is real. So it's inverted. And like every conspiracy theory now tells you that you, a presumed sort of middle-aged white guy, don't need to improve yourself or change your life in any way, and everyone else is wrong. And that's rubbish.
Yeah.
That's not free thinking. That's not a good conspiracy theory. Bigfoot.
That's just curmudgeonly, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, just staying in your own ways. It's much easier. It's fascinating. I find conspiracy to such an interesting realm. It's so easy for anyone to fall into it. The thing
once you believe one of them.
Oh, yeah. The
nobody
door
ever
really
believes
opened.
In just one conspiracy
theory.
This
is the problem. Because I was in Newcastle at the weekend, and I wandered through town, and there was an anti-digital ID protest. And it's like, broadly, I am also anti-digital ID. I agree with your cause.
I agree. Principally, I have no reason except that Tony Blair wants to do it.
Yeah.
So I am against it.
Yes, yeah.
I don't know any more information
than that.
That's
all you need, I think, really. But you see these people, and they're wearing, like, anonymous masks, and I just go, I don't want to get aligned with you, because we're one conversation away from it's the Jews that are doing it. It's like, oh no, I'm just on board for the digital ID thing. I don't believe.
I just
in the
don't
other
really
stuff.
Want the admin.
Yeah,
I'm not so hot on the anti-Semitism.
But it's just it's such a difficult world to for all of us to coalesce on one cause, because it all just sprouts off everywhere. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, that complete. We speaking of sprouts off everywhere.
Is that on your notes?
No, not at all.
Long conspiracy theory chat. I can see it right
there.
Yeah,
no, we went last week, Alex Kitson, and we were all over the shop, weren't we? We sort of bumbled around from Taylor Swift to abortion rights and everything in between. It was quite a lot. Our main conclusion was that we think matcha is horrible. I don't know if you've had
I do agree with you there, yes.
It's just weird tasting milk.
Nope, don't need it.
Yeah, I totally agree. Now, we would love to dip into. What do I actually have in my notes? Sorry. There we go, yeah. Thank you. Well, Kieran has just said in my ears, sexiest man, but on my notes, I was going to go to your tour show, which...
Well, and the title of that is The Sexiest Man.
The Sexiest Man,
The title is King of Crumbs.
King of Crumbs, Spring 2026.
Yes.
You're also, as well as a wonderful children's author, a fantastic short-form video sketch creator, you are ultimately, primarily... a brilliant stand-up.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. I truly do love your stuff, Alistair. And this is a brand new show from you.
Yes. So before I was one of those annoying internet comics, I was an annoying stand-up comedian going around the clubs doing gigs. And so this will be my third tour. And I did a couple of weeks at the Edinburgh Festival, just like you.
Yes, and we bumped into it. I literally bumped into you at the
breakfast together.
Yeah.
It was very, very glamorous. very glamorous show, biz breakfast.
Breakfast?
Breakfast. Breakfast, that's the word. And the show's called King of Crumbs.
What can we expect? What is there? I know it's quite hard sometimes, but like, is there a set piece or a through line or some fun bits that you can like highlight?
Well, times are hard for a travelling whimsy merchant like myself. Reality is a grim and miserable place, as you saw yourself looking at the news this morning.
Yes, yeah.
And so... I've decided to just sort of solve that, really, in show form. And I can't really compete with all the misery that's out there, but I can offer a sort of a cosy, warm show that asks, you know, I say that it asks the big questions, like who watches the Watchmen? Who milks the milkmen? These kind of questions that the other comedians are afraid to ask.
Mm.
Why is it that ducks quack at the speed they walk? I'm looking into things... that they say, you know, that they cancel you, they try to cancel me, but I won't stop. Mm. I am going to look into these areas and really find some completely pointless conclusions.
ABK unleashed. Here we go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they tried to silence me by not liking my jokes, but I wouldn't be silenced. And I came back with another tour. And so I did a couple of weeks of it at the Fringe, tour
building
warm up,
trying
to build it up, and I'm still working on it, trying to make it better and longer, which is always a challenge.
Yeah.
Better and shorter, very easy.
Oh, so easy.
Worse and longer, even easier. Better and longer, a challenge.
Yeah, yeah.
But
that's
I'm working
the real,
on that right now.
Meeting of
can it be both? Yes.
Well, I think it will be by
spring 2026.
And I fully endorse that. Please do go see Alistair on tour. Where any sort of particular venues you're very much looking forward to? Any returning?
Well, it's a UK tour. Mm-hmm. I'm going to... it is mostly in England, I'm afraid to say, but I will be in Cardiff and Glasgow. I love doing Manchester. Always great doing Manchester. I'm back in Newcastle in the northeast, near where I'm from, and a load of places in the southeast of England that I can't remember.
Fair enough.
The names off.
Well, go and Google it. Just give it a little Google. And go and support Alistair. You are a fantastic stand-up. We're going to go ahead into the break. We didn't get to touch on the Sexiest Man Alive, but maybe if our next guest, the wonderful Dave Chawner, is here, we can sort of... he might be exactly what we need as a bit of sort of opposition. Because I think we're on a level of agreeing who's sexy.
Yes, we absolutely... I knew immediately we had the same taste.
Oh yeah, that's I think that's why we sort of gravitate towards each other.
Yeah.
We believe in the golden ratio and things like that. But he's going to come in with these unconventional, attractive people. Yeah. Mm. So yeah, we're going to have some hard-hitting debate. Expect sort of a very low-stakes LBC after the break with Dave Chawner. But for now, enjoy these brief interruptions.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Hello and welcome back to Pulse of the Nation. We have the lovely Dave Chawner taking his seat, unwinding, relaxing, taking his scarf off even. Yes, we're in the winter months fully now. He has sat alongside, opposite Alistair Beckett-King, who's been with us for the whole show so far. They've just shared a salute. All I can assume is a vegan salute. I don't know what sort of acknowledgement you give each other on the street. But yes, hello Dave.
Hello, it's lovely to be here. And really... you've got a really lovely tone to your voice. Really calming. Like, if your voice was a sort of a seat, it would be like a lovely leather armchair that you could just sit in. That was a really nice introduction.
That's so lovely.
What kind of chair would I be, Dave? Yeah, do I have a nice voice? A comfortable chair?
You give me like a kind of, you know, one of those IKEA things that's good for your posture but not very comfortable. You know what I mean? You've got to like, sort your arms out. And
I've never been nailed so accurately. But...
I'm here with orthopaedic chair Alistair Beckett-King.
Technically, I'm good for you as a person.
Yeah. I think you are. I agree with that.
It. You said you were looking for some spiel for the tour.
Yeah, technically, I'm good for you. Orthopaedic chair, Dave Chawner. I'll put it on the poster.
Hello, Dave. How are you doing? Is it cold out there? You come in fully coated and everything.
It's a weird time of year because it looks cold out there. Yeah. And then if there's a breeze, it is chilly, but it's definitely not scarf weather. Mm. It's that in-betweeny when you get in somewhere, it's too warm. You're too many layers. Yes. And then when you go outside, if you just got a jacket on, it's too cold. It's very difficult.
Cold when you leave, too hot when you arrive.
Yes.
Horrible. I honestly was wandering around M&S in Newcastle this weekend going, just turn the heating off. We've all got coats on. Turn the heating off. It's horrible. Yeah. I referenced your vegan salute there. Mm. I said, Alistair, I've got a very specific vegan gripe, but you might be pleased that it's not your usual, why do you call it a sausage when it's not even a sausage? None of that shit. It's that... it's the naming of vegan alternative meals, but that the ones that don't lean into pun. Okay. So, for example, there is a cook ready meal called a chili con veggie. Now,
that is objectively terrible.
That is terrible because also one alternative is chili sin carne,
yes,
which is mm-hmm. sort of takes the Spanish con into turns it into without instead. Or my preference, chili non carne.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. But, so how do you feel like that to be more whimsy in vegan food naming?
I feel like vegan food is quite, I know Russell Howard does a bit about this, but over-sexualized. Like, it's like, get the dirty burger. You know, I don't want to order that. It feels like a bit, it's quite aggressive. I think they're, because it's not vegan anymore, it's plant-based. Yes. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're going to try to rebrand this and make it for the cool kids. And yeah, I always quite liked the pun and I never saw it, tuna imposta bake, but that never came around.
Imposta bake.
Come on.
Although it does imply that the pasta is in some way fake.
I think it could be, because it doesn't have egg in it. Probably, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, a lot of pasta has egg, unless you get the freeze-dried stuff. So that was where that came from, but...
I think that in a way you're right, there's a lack of whimsy, but then there's other ones where there's way too much whimsy and the packaging is all like, oh, hey there, buddy.
You know? Yes.
Whoa, I'm a carton of oat milk. And it's like, why are you addressing me in such a familiar way? We're not friends. What do you mean, buddy? I've just met you. Yeah, show me some respect. Come on.
Yeah. I fully agree with that. My least favourite, and I'll throw this out there as a final word on it. Well, you can chip in. I'm not trying to be like, actually, I'll have the last word. My last stimulus for you is chicken, but with all the vowels removed. So it's just,
yes!
Ooh, good.
Yeah, don't like that.
Mm. But don't music artists do this now? There's SZA.
Yep.
And stuff like that. And I'm
nodding, but I don't know.
I don't know either. It's like when we were young, it was text talk, wasn't it? Where you'd use an 8 instead of, like, after 8, it would be the winner. And that's what I think they're doing now. There's like a big move against vowels.
Is it? I think there's an anti-vowel movement.
Yeah. I think so. I think that's what the Tommy Robinson march was the other week. Because it's like very against vowels. Coming over here from, I think, Normandy, a lot of them. So big, not a fan.
That's funny. Normally, I find right wingers yelling stuff, not enough consonants.
Yes!
Okay. Why don't you get your lips around some of the T's and L's there? Well, funny you say about the in our day. I've got something here, which is some surveys that's been done about 90s nostalgia, and that 6 in 10 young Brits have no idea what the Yellow Pages are. And there is a whole list here of forgotten 90s memorabilia. The top 30 90s staples that adults don't know about. CRT TVs. Would you like to? I don't know what that is.
A CRT stands for cathode ray tube.
Right. Oh, so it's the big chunky ones.
That's a TV with depth.
And it also used to crackle. When you turned it off, if you'd had it on for any duration, it would cool that. Yes!
Beautiful static. And the most important thing about them, if you're my dad, is it actually takes more electricity to switch it off and back on again. If you just pop it out, don't turn it off.
That's great.
It's like a televisual Arga with Terry and June on it or something.
Wow.
What they did have, though, was very good black tones. So they were, the picture quality was actually, in many ways, better than a normal LCD flat screen.
You've taken being a vinyl wanker to the absolute extreme there.
CRT wanker.
Also on the list, Teletext CFAX, paper bus tickets with a magnetic strip, CD-ROM encyclopedias, AA route planner. Now, do you drive, Dave?
I do, but I don't have a car, so I'm
fair enough. That doesn't drive.
Even more impressive, really.
So
I choose not to. Very hipster.
I was going to say, because I often hear like comedians' autobiographies of them like driving from London to Birmingham Glee just with a bloody map on their passenger seat.
Yeah,
Which is impressive because they were probably high on coke at the same time as well. dial-up internet mini disc players, game cartridges you had to blow on, all this sort of stuff is apparently forgotten. The under 25s have no idea what they are.
I tell you one that hasn't gone out, that still exists, and I saw the other day, but I haven't seen in ages, Pez dispensers.
Really?
Yeah. I think they're bringing them back.
Still dispensing Pez in the old way.
Such an arcade and unnecessary way to...
Every other type of sweet just comes in a bag. Yeah. You choose when you get them. But Pez says, no, I will be dispensed this way or not at all.
And isn't it a great marketing ploy? Because the sweets are terrible, really. It's everything around the sweet that you're buying.
The cheapest, crappiest, just like block of sugar.
It's the Pez experience that people are buying.
But I used to love... Do you remember the quiz for Teletext, for CFAX?
Nice. Absolutely Bamboozle.
Well done.
Yep. Yes, Bamboozle's I do remember quiz. Bamboozler. And they would set a quiz each week.
Nothing like going to see the cinema screenings and having to wait 23 pages until you get your specific cinema.
What? So all the local cinema screens would be on this rotation?
The
wow.
first place I heard about Beyoncé, the musical artist, was on CFAX.
Wow!
But because it was CFAX, they didn't have the accent on the E because the characters didn't have... The acute accent on the final E of Beyoncé that makes it Beyoncé. So for the first year of being aware of Beyoncé, in my head I was pronouncing it Beyonce.
Beyonce.
Yeah. I think that's better.
Beyonce.
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 I think that trips off the tongue better than Beyoncé.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I've always thought that like the word Beyoncé sounds Australian. You know, they always put a question at the end.
Yeah.
Beyoncé?
Yeah. I see that. I see that. Well, look, I've sort of, whenever I see this, and I've enjoyed it because it's been nice to reminisce about these things, but whenever it's like done with a, you're such nice, lovely people that we're just lovely, you know, doing a bit of nostalgia. But sometimes you see it on, like, you know, on the Ellen show, they used to do it. And they go, this teenager doesn't even know what a washboard is. And it's like, well, you know, fucking, obviously, I don't need to.
This teenager doesn't even have dysentery. Yeah. Pathetic.
This teenager doesn't use a bayonet. Like, that's great.
What's wrong with making butter by just pounding a churn for hours on end until your hands are calloused?
But it's an Amish version of Ellen there.
I would pay to watch
I haven't
that.
Watched the show. I don't know. I don't know what they are.
Yeah. I don't, but isn't it... I was thinking about this the other day, those cultural references that you know, but you've got no... Like, you know of, but you don't know anything about them. And Ellen is absolutely... Dr. Phil is another one as well. Never watched it, but I know that it's a kind of pseudo-psychology thing. And yeah, Ellen... Maybe there is an Amish Ellen.
Yeah, there could, well, it wouldn't be broadcast
wouldn't
to
be
us,
television.
Would it?
It would just be a person.
In the community.
Ellen in front of a candle behind a sort of screen and doing like shadow puppet.
Well, maybe that's what she's doing now because she lives in the Cotswolds.
Does she?
Yeah,
Ellen lives in the Cotswolds.
Ellen lives in the Cotswolds. She moved to the UK. She lives in the Cotswolds.
Wow.
Isn't that like the plot of the movie The Holiday?
This is the thing I've not seen, I'm afraid. Although people keep telling me I do need to watch it.
It's very good.
Sounds like the plot of a folk horror movie. American TV star comes to a weirdo British village.
Yeah. Actually, you'd be great in that. Mm. I would
As
cast
a weirdo
you.
English person.
Yeah, yeah. And
sort of threatening townsman.
But then in the wrong direction. There's a bit of misdirection where they make you seem like you're going to be the weirdo murderer and actually you're trying to warn Ellen.
Of course, I was just trying to warn you, Ellen.
And then sort of in the doorway, there's the murderer and then... And it's you, and you've smacked him with a shovel, and you're like, Ellen, come quick.
Like Halloran in The Shining.
Yeah,
No, he gets hit with it. I can't remember. Sorry, spoilers for The
but
Shining.
But that's that sort of scene.
Yeah. I'm up for it. Ellen, if you're interested, I am available.
You could be the man making the butter, and they all think that you're stabbing the wife. You're actually just curdling the butter.
Bit of sort of shadow puppetry.
Churning a little bit of butter. Is that a crime?
Exactly. I've been saying this for years,
Is it a crime to churn one's own butter?
Can you... neither of you would churn butter, though.
We can all enjoy the action.
Yes,
So I'm a terrible vegan. I have not as many problems with milk and stuff. So I think I actually remember when I was a kid going to the Black Country Museum and having a go with a butter pat.
Butter pat?
Yeah, because not only
kids don't know what a butter pat.
See, so many things. No, but you make it and then you've got these like little ladles and you squash it into a sort of essentially a brick.
Right.
And then one of them has. They used to have little logos that you. Press into it, so you go, oh, that's John's butter or something like that. Isn't that really nice?
Like writing your name on the milk when you're a student in the fridge. You could just press your own logo into the butter.
Wait, did you have you had milk in your fridge at school?
No, like at university. Like a university.
Oh, right.
When you're in a house share, you got to label your own stuff.
Yes, I get that.
So a little bit of a brand on the butter would be welcome.
Very nice. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
I keep on focusing on the wrong thing. And you said school, and I was like, I'm not getting beyond this. I need to know.
I didn't mean school.
Yeah. Welcome, Dave, to Football Radio. Time has whizzed past. I will forewarn you that at 55, I have to cut us off aggressively. Right. So apologies if I suddenly cut an anecdote short.
How aggressively, I want to know.
Oh, violently.
He's been very aggressive so far.
Really? Great. Yeah, it does feel like I'm normally the alpha in both rooms, but like I am just absolutely swamped by the testosterone here. So.
That's what they
you're
say
You're in
about
the testosterone.
Hey, come on.
That was the original name for today's episode.
Yeah, well, let's rebrand the whole show that as Please Kieran. Pulse the Nation, no more. This will be the Testosterone Zone. but welcome. I was just wondering, what are you up to at the moment? We're in this sort of weird time in the comedy calendar. Sort of the fringe has ended. We're not quite in Christmas parties. Similar to the weather, it's very in-betweeny.
Yes.
What are you up to? What are you working on? What would you like to plug?
Oh, thank you very much. I'm doing a tour. I'm going to the Nottingham Comedy Festival this Thursday.
Amazing.
Which is a very bad day to do it because it's the final of The Traitors.
Oh, no.
And I'm not going to lie, I want to walk out of my own show during that, because I want to see the final more than I want to see that show. But if anyone is in Nottingham, then you can find out all the socials there. Are you going on tour?
I am. I'm on tour at the moment. I have my first show in Bristol on Sunday.
Ooh,
and
nice.
It was very nice. And other dates have been, well, they were speculative when we put them in. And we're reaping the answers now. But yeah, it's been quite fun.
It's good in a way. I like to, when a show doesn't sell well, I like to have the information. It's like, yeah. Well, it's now I know the exact, because if a show sells out, you don't know how many more people wanted tickets. But when a show sells 11 tickets, you're like, 11 people in this town have heard of me.
Yeah.
And that's good information. That's all data.
My friend, you know, Helen Bauer, she's saying that she was like selling out 100-seater in Norwich last year. And so they put her in the 300-seater Norwich Playhouse. And it turns out there were only 11 people missing out on. There's like 111 people in the 300-seater.
It's good to have the data.
Yeah. Oh, Helen's so funny. I know she's not on the show at the moment, but go see Helen on tour.
Yes.
Bless
absolutely.
Her. Fantastic.
Genuinely phenomenal.
She's so, so good. So you were in Nottingham on Thursday. What's the name of the show?
It's called Mental. It's all about mental health rather than mental illness, and it's meant to be a celebration of good mental health. So,
lovely stuff. Yes, you're a very good mental health activist.
Yeah,
I've done that for many years. Also, obviously, you've got King of Crumbs in spring 2026.
Yes, which actually hurts people's mental health, so you've got to make your decisions carefully.
I've had those kind of gigs. Absolutely.
You can have a carbon neutral sort of experience if you go see Alistair and Dave in succession. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Do you think, would you rather be crashed below the zero level and then brought back up, or would you rather crash back down to the zero level? Which order would you think would be better?
What do you think?
I think this is a very easy question.
I think I knock them down, you pick them back up.
I definitely want to go down first, then up, rather than up, then down.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
Well, there you go. In that case, go see Alistair, follow by.
Don't.
And then you will the perfect combination. This is sort of a newsy show. Mm. Obviously, there's been lots of upsetting news. Has anything caught your eye in the news that is positive that you'd like to highlight, to share?
I have noticed a real decline in squirrels.
And that's good news.
This feels like
that's bad news, but the good news is that, well, I suppose it depends on what your views on squirrels are.
I'm pro.
Are you pro?
You seem like a pro squirrel man.
Squirrel.
A lot of people are quite anti.
Well, I'm not one of these people who hates grey squirrels, because I think hating grey squirrels is the most socially acceptable way of being racist.
Yes.
I think there's a subtext to it sometimes.
Yeah.
But I like all squirrels, red and grey.
Yeah, I've noticed.
Well, I don't see squirrel.
Well, I use the word news there. You noticed, you've noticed personally a decline in squirrels.
What happened in my mind there was I realised I might have had to have prepared something for this show.
Oh, right, no.
And I didn't.
Are you breaking the story that squirrels are declining?
I'm doing a Donald Trump. I'm reporting something as
smashing
fact
it
that I just feel like. But I don't feel like I've seen as many squirrels this year. And this is peak squirrel season. This is like their Christmas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm nervous. I'm worried about that.
Yeah, well, I'll keep an eye out for the squirrels. Yeah, I wonder whether there is actually some scientific basis. We talked about conspiracy theories before. It does feel like you're sort of in this realm.
I am so in the realm of
What's your favorite conspiracy theory?
You're a squirrel truther.
Big squirrel. I am at the moment. I'm obsessed with ghosts. I'm really obsessed with ghosts.
Oh yeah,
honestly. I'm so sad I get home and I watch all of these YouTube videos that are titled You'll Never Believe This, and actually 9 times out of 10 I do believe it, because it is just a cat or something like that. There's a lot of disappointing ones out there, but ghosts and aliens are my big hitters. But I'm worried that this time next year, I feel like that's the kind of gateway drug, and then this time next year
you'll be properly anti-COVID and everything.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Rather than being pro-COVID, I've always been
Supporter
of COVID.
Gets a bad name, doesn't it?
Yeah. No. I think he's got his good points.
Early work, lovely stuff. Like, really impressive, I say, you know.
It wasn't boring, was it? Wasn't boring.
Kept us on our toes. Well, I've done some Googling. Grey squirrel numbers are actually booming. There is still a continued decline of red squirrel numbers. So please continue being racist to grey squirrels.
What you've just done there is you've actually just epitomised what you said about my analysis show. I bought brought you back down, but you've brought us back up, which is the best way to be.
I do feel a lot better for it.
Good. Yeah.
There we go. Look, we are hurtling towards 55. I'm sorry, I promised aggression. Shut the fuck up, everybody. Please. For the love of goodness, be quiet. Right, we have to come
for the love of goodness. That's the least aggressive thing anyone could ever say. For the love of goodness.
I'm not a violent man. We have got, there's so much to plug it. Dave, what are your socials, please?
Dave, at Dave_Chorner.
And you can catch Dave wherever he's gigging, especially in Nottingham this Thursday. Alistair has got Montgomery Bonbon, the children's book series, King of Crumbs, Spring 2026. You've also got your own podcast, Lawmen, and Eleanor and Alistair read that. So there's lots to devour of our wonderful guests. Thank you both for joining me.
Thank you
to Kieran in the production booth. You can follow this show, Pulse of the _ Nation, on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram. We're all over the shop, and we'll see you next week.
Foo Bar Radio.